Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Insurance companies in Illinois will have to cover the latest technique in breast cancer screening under a bill signed by Governor Rauner. David Stewart reports.
Governor Rauner signed a new law that requires insurance companies to pay for 3D mammograms. The law applies to both private insurance companies and Medicaid, ensuring that all patients have access to a better breast cancer screening tool.
To think about that, we can find 40% more. That's stunning. And to have fewer callbacks. The callback process, false positives, the stress, the cost, but especially the stress of having to be called back with uncertainty, that's a big deal.
The screening tool, formerly known as breast tomosynthesis, produces a 3D image from a series of x-rays taken from different angles. David Stewart, Chicago.
Craving something sweet today? Well, go ahead and treat yourself. It's National Junk Food Day. USA's Tammy Rose has more.
Can't resist hitting up the vending machine at work or school? Well, why not indulge your craving by grabbing some chips or a donut? It's National Junk Food Day. So-called junk is a kind of stuff everyone loves to snack on. So don't worry about veggies and fruits, at least for today. Enjoy one of your guilty pleasures. In fact, I think I'll go grab a chocolate chip cookie. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
Thanks for the cookies, Tammy. This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod William Stahl. For more news 24/7, join us at www.usaradio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
It is 4 after the hour. It's time for Hunt and Chamber Radio Weather.
It is Thursday, July 21st, 2016. And my weather is spinning out of control. It's already beginning one of those days. There we go. We got it. Sunny, patchy fog this morning, highs in the upper 80s, west winds at 5 miles an hour, mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-60s, southwest winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour, mostly sunny tomorrow, hot and humid with highs in the lower 90s, southwest winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. There's possible thunderstorms tomorrow night, mostly sunny, hot and humid with highs in the mid-90s on Saturday. Mostly sunny, hot, with highs in the mid-90s on Sunday. Partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon for Monday the 25th. Hot with highs in the 90s. Chance of rain 40%. Heat index values up to 105. And on Tuesday, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, hot with highs in the lower 90s, chance of rain 30%. Looks like it's going to be a hot one. We got more 90-degree days this month than we did all last year. That's Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chimney Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
The days were long and the nights so cold. The pages turned and the tale unfolds. He left me for another lady. She stood so tall and she never slept. There was not one moment he could regret. He left me for another lady. He took my hand one day and told me he was leaving me, just believing. And I had to let him go. Her name was New York.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chimney Radio. Paloma Faith, New York. Let's see what's going on. It is 8 after the hour. It's time for us to look at Hunter Chimney Radio traffic. I have my information that comes from me, from HRTTV.com. You can get the same. You just got to register with HRTTV.com. You'll get emails, which you can see on your smartphone, or you can follow them on Twitter. So, let's see what we have. Early this morning, a minor accident on the Somerville Circle. Impact traffic congestion on Route 202 approaching the circle from both directions. That was at 6:30, so I assume that one's all cleared up by now. And 78, congestion, exit 24, Tewksbury, slow-moving traffic approaching 29. That's normal stuff. So that's it for right now. Good morning, Hunter and Hunt Chimney Radio traffic. Time for a little history from history.com. For July 21st, 2016, We start off with our lead story, which is 1861. In the first major land battle of the Civil War, a large Union force under General Irvin McDowell is routed by a Confederate army under General Pierre G.T. Beauregard. 3 months after the Civil War erupted at Fort Sumter, Union military command still believed that the Confederacy would be crushed quickly and with little loss of life. In July, this overconfidence led to a premature offensive into Northern Virginia by General McDowell. Searching out the Confederate forces, McDowell led 34,000 troops, mostly inexperienced and poorly trained militiamen, toward the railroad junction of Manassas, located just 30 miles from Washington, D.C. Alerted to the Union advance, General Beauregard massed some 20,000 troops there and was soon joined by General Joseph Johnston, who brought another 9,000 troops by railroad. So overconfidence. In 1775, Patriot Minutemen in a whaleboat commanded by Major Joseph Vose raid Nantasic Point, also known as the Little Brewster Island in Boston Harbor, Massachusetts. The raiders temporarily drive off the island's British Guard and confiscate lamps, oil, gunpowder, and boats before burning the wooden parts of the point's lighthouse. In 1960, on this day, the German government passes the law concerning the transfer of the share rights in Volkswagen, known informally as the Volkswagen Law. It was founded in 1937 and originally under the control of Adolf Hitler's National Socialist Party. Volkswagen would eventually grow into Europe's largest car manufacturer and a symbol of Germany's economic recovery after the devastation of World War II. The Volkswagen Law, passed in July of 1960, changed the company to a joint stock corporation with 20% held by each German and Lower Saxony, the region in which Volkswagen is still headquartered. By limiting the share of any other stockholder to 20%, regardless of how many shares owned, the law effectively protected the company from any attempt of a hostile takeover. In 1955, President Dwight D. Eisenhower presents his Open Skies Plan at the 1955 Geneva Summit meeting with representatives of France, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union. The plan, though never accepted, laid foundation for President Ronald Reagan's later policy of trust but verify in relation to arms agreements with the Soviet Union. 1925, school teacher John T. Scopes is convicted of violating Tennessee's law against teaching evolution in public schools. The case debated in the so-called trial of the century, I'm confused because there's been a couple of them, was never really in doubt. The jury only conferred for a few moments in the hallway before returning to the courtroom with a guilty verdict. Nevertheless, the supporters of evolution won the public relations battle that was really at stake. Trial of the century, we had a bunch of them. In 365, a powerful earthquake off the coast of Greece causes a tsunami that devastates the city of Alexandria, Egypt. Although there was no measuring tools at the time, scientists now estimate that the quake was actually two tremors in succession, the largest of which is thought to have a magnitude of 8.0. 1925, and we just talked about that. That was the monkey trial. 1970, after 11 years of construction, the Aswan High Dam across the Nile River in Egypt is completed in July 21st, 1970. More than 2 miles long at its crest, the massive $1 billion dam ended the cycle of flood and drought to the Nile River region and exploited a tremendous source of renewable energy, but had a controversial environmental impact. In 2005, terrorists attempt to attack the London transit system by planting bombs on 3 subways and on 1 bus. None of the bombs detonate completely. The attempted attack came exactly 2 weeks after terrorists killed 56 people, including themselves, and wounded 700 and the largest attack on Great Britain since World War II. The previous attack also targeted three subways and one bus. 2011, NASA's space shuttle program completes its final and 135th mission when the shuttle Atlantis lands at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. During that program, 30-year history, its five orbiters, Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, Atlantis, and Endeavour, carried more than 350 people into space and flew more than 500 million miles. And shuttle crews conducted important research, serviced the Hubble telescope, and helped in the construction of the International Space Station, among other activities. NASA retired the shuttles in focus on a deep space exploration program that would one day send astronauts to asteroids and Mars. In 2007, the seventh and final Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, is released with an initial print run of 12 million copies in the United States alone. Like each of the previous Harry Potter novels, Deathly Hallows is slated to be made into a major Hollywood film. 1973, Soul Makassa is the first disco record to make the top 40. In 1865, in what would be the first true Western showdown, Wild Bill Hickok shoots Dave Tutt dead in the Market Square of Springfield, Missouri. In 1862, former President Martin Van Buren, who served as the nation's eighth president between 37 and 41, slips into a coma. And in sports in 1959, Elijah Jerry Pumpsy Green makes his Boston Red Sox debut, becoming the first African-American ever to play for the Red Sox, the last team in the major leagues to integrate. Green pinch ran for Vic Wertz, and then played shortstop in a 2-1 loss to the Chicago White Sox. That is Today in History from History.com for July 21st, 2016. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a moment.
Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Kowicki & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Solo escucha.
Son las 5 de la mañana y yo no he dormido nada. Pensando en tu belleza y no voy a parar. El insomnio es mi castigo, tu amor será mi alivio. Y hasta que no seas mía, no viviré en paz. He conocido tu novio, pequeño y no hermoso. Y sé que él no te quiere por su forma de hablar. Además, tú no lo amas porque él no da la talla. Sabe complacerte como lo haría yo, pero tendré paciencia porque no es competencia, por eso no hay motivos para llorar y esperar.
No, no es amor lo que tú sientes.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon. I'm Jimmy.com. News that we're going to cover for the next hour from the Democrat. Stuff that we need to know about. First is the $2.5 million golf course clubhouse is hotly debated in Hunterdon. And Sally Graziano reports on NJ.com on the 20th that a plan to build that $2.5 million clubhouse at the county-owned Heron Glen course drew a packed house to a public hearing at Tuesday night's Hunterdon County Freeholders meeting. The hearing was on a $31.6 million capital investment ordinance that covers the clubhouse, a $7 million emergency services training center, and multiple other county projects, including road and bridge repairs. When freeholders voted on the ordinance, it was approved by freeholder Matt Holt, freeholder John King, freeholder Deputy Director John Lanza, and freeholder Director Suzanne Legay. When the clerk read Freeholder Robert Walton's name in the roll call vote, he said, "Hell no." With the ordinance approved 4-1, someone in the audience yelled back, "Hell yes." The clubhouse was the hot topic, with people speaking in favor and against it, expressing strong views on both sides. They included former freeholder George Muller and Eric Peterson, who took opposing views on the clubhouse when they were freeholders 10 years ago and retained those stances Tuesday night. Muller supports building the clubhouse, saying that when the course was built, the plan was to replace trailers with a clubhouse in a couple years. That was done a decade ago, he said, and as for profitability, we get 10% of that take from the people who operate the course, Muller said. Now it's cost-effective to make it run better than it already is. And Peterson said one reason he opposes the clubhouse is its grand style. You should not have a banquet hall some Taj Mahal built on the taxpayers' dime, he said, suggesting as an alternative a modular project at about a third of the cost, a place to eat, locker rooms, and some offices. It's not the right time to invest in golf courses, he said. Golf courses are struggling more now than they were 9 years ago, and he suggested that the county-owned courthouse, or county-owned course, which pays no taxes, is completing with private enterprises, the Copper Hill, Beaver Brook, Stanton Ridge, and Oak Hill. Richard Cotton, who built the Hawk Point course in Washington, said he's been looking at the challenges facing golf courses. Millennials don't have an interest in golf, and we're seeing a decline in the number of seniors who are playing. He urged freeholders to think of an alternative use for the course that would serve a broader base of taxpayers. I would pull that piece out and look at the broader market of how we could use that for more people. Highbridge has a golf course, said Dr. Brendan Coughlin, a former Highbridge councilman, and we have the highest tax rate in the country, in the county. You folks are about to add to our burden, he suggested, an alternative to a clubhouse. What you need is a pavilion with a drop-down sides, some grills, and some cold beer. A more elaborate clubhouse can't be funded by the golfers you'll be able to attract, he said. A large contingent of people who golf regularly at Heron Glen said otherwise. They had the freeholders built the clubhouse in 1999. It would have been built by a cost of $700,000, said County Clerk Mary Melfi. Hunterdon County has one of the best park systems in the state, and that's because it has balance, she said. People can go to Deer Path Park and rent a pavilion or hike on county trails. What I'm supporting is quality of life, Melfi said. Adding a nice clubhouse at a golf course might mean a decent tournament would be held, she said. Mentioning the Special Olympics organization in particular, she added, there are a lot of people in the county that depend on this course. Following the close of the public hearing, Walton, who voted against introducing the bond ordinance at the Freeholders' July 5th meeting, made a motion to approve the capital ordinance without an appropriation for the clubhouse. It failed to get a second. Holt then moved the ordinance as written, and the Freeholders themselves weighed in. Walton likened the ordinance to a bowl of lobster bisque. The training center was the lobster. Multiple projects around the county were the bisque, and the golf course clubhouse was the fly in the soup. It's the wrong time to be borrowing for unnecessary projects, he said. We could lease the golf course or sell it. Make Kemper put up a private facility. We can put up a smaller facility. But there's no report on any of these options. Lanza said that many times in the past, freeholder boards have been penny-wise and pound-foolish, opting for less expensive options that don't last. Even with declining numbers of people playing golf, the course has netted $300,000 in positive cash flow, Lanza said. Because we have the course, we must take care of it, he said. Citing interest rates of 2%, he said, doing it while money is cheap is the smart route. Freeholder Matt Holt noted that the freeholders have eliminated county debt, and we have not borrowed money in this century. It's time to update county facilities, he said, citing rats the size of a cat I have at home at the current burn building. The new Emergency Services Training Center is designed to take us to the next 20 years. It's the same with the golf course, Holt said. We have 16-year-old trailers there. What do we have to do it right? So the debate goes on, but I guess it's been approved. So we move on from there. The only one who just doesn't want to do it is freeholder Robert Walton. Everybody else seems to think that it should be just toned down a little bit. And that's the debate, I guess. I don't know what their plans really are, and perhaps we do need a bigger banquet hall and could start renting it out, maybe. That would be nice. A couple years from now, I don't know if it'll be a big deal, but it's been debated, it's been decided, and it's been approved, so they'll move on from there. All right, we move on from there to talk a little bit about some road work that's going to be happening. Oh, over at 513, effective road work shut down in Hunterdon called minimal. So Sally Graziano reports that Governor Chris Christie's executive order halting $3.5 billion in what the administration deemed non-essential transportation and transit projects has not had a great effect in Hunterdon County. Public Works Director Tom Matthews told the Freeholders on Tuesday night. The freeze was ordered amid a stalemate with Senate lawmakers over a plan to fund the state's nearly broke Transportation Trust Fund. Work on 579 from Pittstown to County Route 614 in Alexandria and Union Townships was the biggest project affected by the shutdown, Matthew said, adding, before the shutdown, it was substantially complete. 12 projects in all have been affected by the shutdown, Matthew said. Of those, 5 are almost completed. In fact, for 4 of the 5 projects, bills have already been sent out. The remaining projects are in various stages, Matthew said. TTF pays for construction, not design. Under questioning by Freeholder John King, Matthew said, there's been no traffic disruption due to the TTF shutdown and nobody's at risk. They discussed the work on Route 31 North from Walter Ferran Boulevard to Stop and Shop Plaza, noting how cones have been moved out of the way to allow 2 traffic lanes northward. One unanswered question is who pays for contractors to remobilize after the shutdown? Another one, said Matthews, is what happens to the Exit 15 realignment project in Clinton Union and Franklin Townships. It's in the design phase under federal funding, Matthews said. If the project gets canceled, do you have to pay back the federal funds? Let's be realistic, said Freeholder Matt Holt, who sits on the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. At some point in the future, construction projects will pick up and move on. There's no answer to who will pay for the costs of the shutdown because it's never happened before. It's a political end to try and resolve an issue that's been pending for 10 to 15 years. Discussion is, how do we fund TTF? For Hunterdon County, our impact has been pretty minimal, Holt said. The downside is we've missed a couple of great weeks of construction. The shutdown is a political football at the moment. As far as Exit 15, I'm sure that issue will be resolved. There you go. All right, it's time for us to take another quick break. We'll do the news, and we'll get to Hunterdon Chamber Radio Sports in just a few minutes.
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. Saturday night was at this real wild party. They had the liquor overflowing the cup. About 5-6 strippers trying to work for a buck. And I took one girl outside with me. Her name is Lana. She went to junior high with me. I said, why you up in there dancing for cash? I guess a whole lot changed since I seen you last. She said,
what would you do if someone's at home? Crying all alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams Dole.
I accept your nomination to run and serve as Vice President of the United States of America.
That was the beginning of Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence's speech last night. Some said it was a little long, but most thought it was right on target.
A few days ago in New York City, with the man who won 37 states, who faced 16 talented opponents and outlasted every one of them, and along the way brought millions of new voters into the Republican Party.
And he went on to talk some more about his running mate, who he hopes is the next president of the United States.
A fighter, a winner. Until now, he's had to do it all by himself against all odds. But this week, with this United Party, he's got backup. And on November 8th, I know we will elect Donald Trump.
USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It was Eric Trump's turn at the podium last night, and he said his father will bring sound business judgment and practices to the White House. The younger Trump said his dad turned dreams into realities his entire career.
At a time when the people at the pinnacle of their career, like my father, would have held fast to a lifestyle that has truly become the epitome of the American dream, my father instead chose to give that dream back to the people it had eluded for so long.
Former adversary New Jersey Governor Chris Christie blasted Ted Cruz after his speech last night.
We all 17 of us signed the pledge saying that we would support whoever the nominee was without qualification. And I don't understand how someone could present themselves as a person of integrity and then come into this room tonight and give that cute speech he gave.
That seemed to be the sentiment in the crowd last night in Cleveland. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
In non-convention news last night, a police impersonator is being sought in Prince George's County. Doug Parrish reports.
Police say a woman was pulled over Monday night in the Clinton area. She tells police it was a black car with a flashing red dome. The woman also tells investigators the man was wearing a Prince George's County police uniform. The impersonator is being described as a large white man, about 6'3", 250 pounds, with a bald head and a skull tattoo on the side of his neck. Anyone who has seen this man is asked to call Prince George's County police immediately. Doug Parrish, NBC News Radio, Washington.
Also in Maryland, the ACLU is applauding state prison officials for withdrawing a proposal on inmate mail. Doug Parrish explains.
The Maryland Corrections Department had proposed a plan to limit inmate mail to postcards. Corrections Secretary Stephen Moyer said the purpose of the plan was to prevent contraband from coming into prisons through the mail, especially drugs. Well, the ACLU slammed the idea as, quote, inhumane, unconstitutional, and wrong-headed. Well, after concerns were raised, Moyer says the department will instead form a focus group to study ways to cut down on contraband. Doug Parrish, NBC News Radio.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod William Stoll with more news at www.usaradio.com.
Time for 100 Jim Radio Sports. Scores and calendar for our two minor league baseball teams, the Patriots and the Thunder. The Patriots are starting a series with the Sugar Land Skeeters. It started on Tuesday. They won that first game 7-5. They had a doubleheader yesterday. Well, not really a doubleheader, but a morning game and an evening game. Morning game, the Patriots lost 6-1. The evening game, the Patriots lost 6-4. And so now the Patriots have to make up and even the series up with a win tonight. There'll be fireworks. It's at 7:05. Patriots then go off to visit the Lancaster Barnstormers for three games and then the York Revolution for three. Two top teams in the Freedom Division. Patriots will then be back to take on the Bridgeport Bluefish for four games ending the July schedule. Sparky's birthday will be on the 28th. Amazing Mets night and Wallet's giveaway is on the 29th. Fireworks and Christmas in July is the 30th. And Logo Baseball's Scout Day and autographs, kids run the bases, a 5:05 start on Sunday. So where are the Patriots in the standings? They're in second place in the Liberty Division. They're now five games behind the Long Island Ducks with a 44-39 record. and 4 games ahead of the New Britain Bees. So solidly in second place, but not as dominant as they once were. York Revolution and the Sugarland Skeeters having a battle. York Revolution are 4 games ahead of the Sugarland Skeeters. And Lancaster Barnstormers are 6 games back. So 3 teams fighting for 2 places in the Freedom Division. Moving on to the Thunder. They were set up to play Portland. They faced Portland on Monday and lost 11-4. 3-2 victory over Portland on Tuesday and a 7-4 victory over Portland on Wednesday. They're now off to visit New Hampshire for 3-4 games. All 7:05 starts except for the Sunday 1:35 in the afternoon start. And then they'll go and visit Portland again and play them for 3 games on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. The Thunder will be back to take on Altoona for 4 games, which finishes out July. It'll be on the 28th, post-game fireworks. On the 29th, it is Luis Severino bobblehead giveaway and scout sleepover. On Saturday, we have post-game fireworks. And on Sunday, the 31st, drawstring bag giveaway, free ice cream, Sunrun Sundays, all happening on the 31st. So let's look at where the Patriots are in the standings. And last we looked, they were solidly in second place, 7 games now behind the Reading Fighting Phils and 5 games ahead of the Hartford Yard Goats. So 3 teams vying for 2 spots. In the Eastern League Western Division, it is a 3-team tie for first place between Altoona, Harrisburg, and Akron. They all have equal records. So they're all fighting for it. There's 3 teams in each division that are fighting for their for the playoffs, and there's 3 teams that are struggling. And so Portland and New Hampshire are two of the teams that are struggling in the Eastern Division, Eastern League, Eastern Division, and the Patriots, Thunder, fortunately, are going to be playing them. And looking forward to see if they can continue their pursuit of locking up a playoff spot. That's Hunter Chamber Radio Sports. Scores and calendar for our 2 minor league baseball teams. Please support our local athletes. They love playing for a crowd. They do it because they love their sport. Now, there was a little bit more sports information that came our way. Had some baseball. Flemington wins the American League district title. So let's see how that's going. Craig Turpin reports on the 20th that the Flemington Post 159 defeated Sussex Post 213 by a score of 9-1 on Tuesday to take the American Legion district title at a tournament held at Breslin Field in Lyndhurst. Flemington senior division team now advances to the state finals being held at Moody Park in Ewing from July 23rd to 28th. Flemington is part of the American Legion Pyramid League, which includes teams from Warren, Hunterdon, and Sussex counties. So congratulations to them, and we'll see how they do in the state championships. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes.
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. Saturday night was at this real wild party. They had the liquor overflowing the cup. About 5-6 strippers trying to work for a buck. And I took one girl outside with me. Her name was Lana. She went to junior high with me. I said, why you up in there dancing for cash? I guess the whole lot changed since I seen you last. She said,
what would you do if someone's at home crying on the bedroom floor? I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honorary Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
I'm drinking again, thinking of when you left me. Now that was so long ago.
Listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamber.com. A little Jeff Beck there. News in and around Hunterdon County. And it's one of those that you know you're in Hunterdon County when you find out that the big news is that they can't find a giant missing duck. Grime Snipers joined search for a giant missing duck in New Jersey. So, Sally Graziano reports on the 20th that Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County is offering a $250 reward for information about the disappearance of a giant inflatable duck that went missing after the annual rubber ducky race in Clinton Sunday. The duck, donated to the Clinton Guild by several of its members, had been sitting on the patio of the Hunterdon Art Museum the week before the race, and members of the Clinton First Aid and Rescue Squad anchored it to the river on race day. We thought people would be excited to take pictures of the duck, said Clinton Guild President Diane Crispin Race on Wednesday. The duck was last seen in the water around 10 p.m. Sunday, Crispin Race said. We've pinned it down to after 10 p.m. and before 8:20 on Monday, she said. Sometime during that time period, the duck went missing. She asked the rescue squad members if it was possible the duck got loose and floated away. They were insisting they secured it tightly with lots of knots, she said. They haven't been back in the water yet to retrieve the anchor and buoy, so we don't know if they fell, if they tell it's been cut. It also seems unlikely the duck deflated in place, she said. We went to the top of the art museum and looked into the river, Crispin said, and the water's clear enough to see through, and it's not there. Guild members fear someone snatched the duck. There's a good section of that river you can get to pretty easily, Crispin Race said. It's pretty walkable. It's not the first attraction to go missing from the river, Crispin Race said. Years ago, a Statue of Liberty placed out on the river also disappeared. Someone must not like to have things on the river. Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County is working with Clinton police to offer the reward, she said. And post on Crime Stoppers' Facebook page says it's seeking your help in locating information concerning the disappearance and safe return of the giant rubber duck used in last weekend's rubber duck race. Anonymous tips can be submitted by calling Crime Stoppers at 800-321-0010, by going online to crimestoppershunterdon.com, or by text messaging HCTIPS plus a tip message to 274-637, which spells out the word crimes. It's sad that there's an event like this that happened. It's kind of humorous to realize that it's that big a deal. But nonetheless, Daniel Muller reports that Hunterdon County launches a new biomedical science academy. So the Hunterdon County Vocational School District will be rolling out a new biomedical sciences academy housed in North Hunterdon High School in August, thanks to a $600,000 New Jersey grant, Department of Education grant. The Biomedical Sciences Academy is a four-year, full-time high school program that allows students to investigate biomedical professions while accumulating college credit through an agreement with Raritan Valley Community College and Rutgers School of Health Professions. Throughout the four-year program, students will be exposed to 97 different career fields in medical sciences. The curriculum will look at multiple case studies in investigating the roles of biomedical professionals, such as pharmacology, clinical research, and public health. It's all about learning about preventing, diagnosing, and treating diseases of patients, said Jessica Cangelosi-Hade, the director of the curriculum. Students in the program will still take their state requirement tests, such as math, science, and gym, at North Hunterdon High School, with the addition of advanced biomedical coursework as part of their schedules. Cangelosi-Hade said they received 50 applications for admissions into the program, but only 22 were selected. The Biomedical Science Academy is a small but selected program with a rigorous curriculum that will prepare them for college or the workforce. The program is made possible through a partnership with Project Lead the Way, a national nonprofit aimed at project-based curriculum, served as lead curriculum provider, creating the biomedical service science courses. Students will experience traditional classroom instruction, hands-on training, and a capstone course providing internship opportunities their senior year. We are required to have at least 3 years of cohesive sequenced courses, but we have four, Cangelosi-Hade said. Our courses are aligned to an intelligent way to introduce biosciences and make the students advance at the end. Hunterdon Medical Center is also partnered with the Academy to provide the field experience for the senior year capstone project. So we continue to advance. Now, I know that there's a couple other schools in New Jersey that have these types of academies, but it's nice to know that Hunterdon County is starting to do something similar. All right. It's 51 after the hour. Let's see what else we got to check out here. We have an officer. Oh, no, we got the PennEast Pipeline. Lawyers blast the PennEast Pipeline's request to deny a hearing. So Greg Wright of NJ.com reports on the 20th that Eastern Environmental Law Center responded Wednesday to PennEast's request to federal regulators that the center's pleading for evidentiary hearing over the necessity of the pipeline be rejected. The firm, representing the New Jersey Conservation Foundation and the Stony Brook Millstone Watershed Association, submitted a response blasting PennEast's 24-page request for denial of the hearing. It's a procedural bait and switch, said Jennifer Dennis, a senior staff attorney for EELC. We used a combined form of pleading, which is common. On July 5th, PennEast wrote a motion requesting that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission deny the hearing request, calling it duplicative and nothing more than extremely late protest. The EELC has styled its pleading as a complaint and motion filed pursuant to Rule 206 and Rule 212 requesting that FERC establish a hearing, the PennEast filing said, and the filing fails to meet the basic requirements of Rule 206, at best must be treated as an untimely protest with a request for an evidentiary hearing. Rule 206 is the FERC guideline for filing a complaint, whereas Rule 212 is a guideline for filing a motion. The deadline for comments was October 29th. This is not a comment, Dennis said. It's like if you're walking your dog and Penny says you're walking a cat, no cats allowed. There's no time limit on the Rule 206 complaint, and there's no time limit on the Rule 212 motion for the hearing, she said. Penn East was submitted 34 public comments since the October 29th deadline. The company's filing also says that separate complaint proceedings are not appropriate when it would be duplicative or an ongoing proceeding. The Penn East filing says everything there submitted tells you everything you need to know, and anything else would be duplicative, Panis said. An evidentiary hearing is for when there's conflicting data. There have been a number of reports that have raised red flags. Some studies and market experts have agreed that Penn East's arrangement of the utility companies signing on as almost 75% of the pipeline customer base rather than ratepayers paves the way for potential market abuse and may put customers on the hook for years of unnecessary cost increases. Penn East's contract arrangement between the parent companies and their own subsidiaries has inspired a new federal bill. Tom Gilbert of NJCF fears that Penn East's arrangement could set the precedent for utility companies to use their own desire for natural gas as justification for sweeping land grabs via eminent domain. It is not a legitimate justification for them to have the power of eminent domain, Gilbert said. Eminent domain is for the purpose of meeting public needs for the greater public good. Sometimes there are needs to sacrifice public needs for the greater public good, he said. This is subverting that process, and there is not a legitimate public need here. Dennis says the EELC's request for a hearing clearly explains this point and any others. We go through each and every regulatory requirement for complaints and motions and identify them, Dennis said. It's almost like Penn East's ignoring the papers. Some wonder that if the process is duplicative or unnecessary, why Penn East bothers to object so strongly. It's like a Wizard of Oz thing, Dennis said. They don't want someone to lift the curtain. And I think Penn East is worried, she said. When asked why Penn East project is so opposed to the EELC's request, spokeswoman Pat Cornick said, the call for an evidentiary hearing when a comprehensive process is in place is nothing more than an attempted delay tactic on the part of those opposed to natural gas infrastructure development. I don't know, man. Penn East just continues to show that they might not be doing it the right way, or at least the procedural way. Anyway, there's the end of that. We'll see what the outcome is. It's time for me to get on out of here. It's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I will be back again tomorrow morning. I want to thank Michelle Heidi and Diane Lane for their contribution to the show. Vincent Arrugas says, never say I should have. Well, there's a lot of things going on right now politically, and it's time to start talking about them. You're allowed to raise your voice and add to your contribution information to the decision making, and make sure that you do in fact do that. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. Good morning, Hunter, and I'm Jim at Radio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
I accept your nomination to run and serve as Vice President of the United States of America.
That was the beginning of Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence's speech last night. Some said it was a little long, but most thought it was right on target.
A few days ago in New York City, with the man who won 37 states, who faced 16 talented opponents and outlasted every one of them,
and along the way brought millions of new voters into the Republican Party.
And he went on to talk some more about his running mate, who he hopes is the next president of the United States.
A fighter, a winner. Until now, he's had to do it all by himself against all odds. But this week, with this united party, he's got backup. And on November 8th, I know we will elect Donald Trump.
USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life tip one, use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life tip two, switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico, get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter.